Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Thank you so much for joining us again here at LCC Online. I'm so thankful for the privilege of getting to bring you God's Word to your home tonight. If you would like to read along with us, we're going to be reading in Mark chapter 9. And I want to minister to you from this thought, a feeling that I assume many of us are feeling here as of late, the thought of being stir crazy. I'm sure many of you are tired of being stuck in the house, experiencing cabin fever, or just being restless. And just like Pastor John has been preaching, this time for all of us looks very different. It is very different to do this right now. It's very different for me to minister without people in the room, without you to minister to. And while that is different, God is not. And He has not changed, and He is not asleep on this situation, and He hasn't differed one way or the other. And while it's different, it's also unique and fascinating to see how the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives. And I pray that this is a truth that you can find rest in today, the fact that the Holy Spirit is still moving. And the other night as I was praying, I was spending some time with the Lord and talking to Him about all this, and I began to think about the struggle that many are facing in this time, as well as the struggle of what's ahead of us when the threat of this virus begins to cool down. How will the economy recover, and what will people have to do to get back to work, and what will school look like for our kids as we go forward? And from a personal standpoint, my mind has been in the place as it concerns how we serve the church. Like, what can we do to stay engaged? Will the newness of these online experiences begin to wear off, causing our outreach to diminish? These are all questions that I ask myself. And in that moment, during this time of prayer, I felt like that the Holy Spirit just led me to calm down with all that. And I very clearly heard Him to say, slow down. And slow down, that's a lot easier said than done. And many of you would agree that slowing down to this degree would never have been part of the equation had we not been forced to do it. But in that moment, God began to reveal to me that even though He has not sent this trouble upon our land, let me be very clear about that. God did not send the coronavirus. The Bible says that God sends good things and the devil sends bad things. And I hope that that theology is clear for us tonight. God did not send this on our land. However, I feel like that He wants us to know that He is very much present in the midst of it. And while we are restless and stir crazy, He is our present help, the Word says, in our time of need. To use a term coined by family systems therapist Edwin Freeman, Jesus exists to us in this moment as a non-anxious presence. As the need to slow down tempts us to become worried and anxious, Jesus is present in this moment to drive all of that away from us. And that is the important thing that we need to realize, that God is in this moment with us. So I think the question for us is this: are we also in this moment with Him? Are we present with Jesus as He is present with us? And in Mark 9, it shows us the story of an important moment in the life of Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And I want us to read through it and notice how Jesus responded to this particular moment versus how Peter responded to this moment. So in Mark chapter 9, verse 2, we read this. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth could ever whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Verse 5, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And verse 6, but he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came out and overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. In verse 8, suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. So here we see this powerful moment where the Father comes down on this mountain with Moses and Elijah, and Jesus is touched and transformed in this moment. And Jesus here took the initiative to bring along Peter, James, and John to allow them to experience this moment with him. And then Peter steps all over it, muddies it up, puts his foot in his mouth, gets in his own way. And we find out in verse 8 that his reaction was based out of fear. It says that he didn't know how to respond to the moment because he was greatly afraid. And to his credit, I'm not sure that any of us would act any different if all of a sudden Moses and Elijah appear and all of a sudden the guy who brought us with him is glowing and shining white. So we'll cut him a little slack today. But in that moment, because of fear, Peter responds by trying to capitalize on the moment and trying to make something happen out of it instead of just being present with Jesus and the Father. Peter misses the moment, trying to make it last and trying to cover for the next moment. And in that moment, the voice of God himself billows out of the sky and directs Peter's attention back to Jesus and tells Peter, "This is my son, hear him," or "listen to him." Now, while I'm certainly not comparing the transfiguration to the coronavirus, I hope that we can see how these two things are similar. I think that in the turbulent times that we are in, we can easily become like Peter, quick to devise a plan and an attempt to progress. Or we can react in a response of being afraid and unsure. But doing so comes at the expense of the present. We should in this time guard our hearts and not let anxiety and the mystery behind the future rob us of the opportunity that we have personally with the Holy Spirit. As the narrative of Mark 9 plays out, we see the result of how Jesus properly responded to the moment on the mountain and how Peter's stir-crazy response played out. And as the story plays out, we see Jesus approaching a scene where the disciples are with a man who has a son who's being tormented by what the Bible says is a mute spirit. But really, it's demonic oppression. The man tells Jesus how he had brought his son to the disciples, but they were unable to command the spirit to leave. And we'll pick it up here in verse 21. So he asked the father, this being Jesus, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So let's pause right there and put some things together. So Jesus is in a moment where this boy is in great need of being delivered. The spirit that is on this boy is oppressing him to the degree that it throws him into either fire or into water to try to destroy him. So if we take a step back and look at the whole picture, we would be amiss to not take note of the two men that Jesus had just met with on the Mount of Transfiguration. And even more amiss to not see how God used that moment. He meets with Moses, who we know raised his staff in the moment trying to free the children of Israel. He parts the Red Sea, and we see God using him to take authority over water. And then he meets with Elijah, who, when confronted by the prophets of Baal and by Jezebel, calls fire down from heaven to destroy them and burn up their sacrifice and his sacrifice and to prove that the God of fire is real. We see Elijah, who by the power of God takes authority over fire. And now here is a boy with Jesus who needs delivered from being thrown into both fire and into water. A boy who has no authority over fire and water, and Jesus, who has now come back off that mountain with Moses and Elijah, equipped with the authority over fire and water. I think it's safe for us to draw that conclusion that God used the moment on the Mount of Transfiguration to prepare Jesus for this encounter with this boy. And with that thought, I pose this question to you. Could it be that God is present in this moment with you, and your response to him will dictate how you'll go through the things you face in the future? We can respond like Jesus, being present in this moment with the Father, and in doing so, we'll find ourselves equipped with that presence for the next moment. Or we can respond like Peter, worried and reacting out of fear, to the current moment, and then, like the other disciples, we find ourselves coming up short with nothing to draw on in the future. And the story finishes out like this, and we'll finish out in Matthew chapter 17, who has a more kind of concise version of this account. And Matthew, it starts out like this in verse 17. Then Jesus answered them and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Verse 18, and then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you that if you have the faith of as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Now, this moment of transfiguration for Jesus ends up being the catalyst that saves this boy's life. Jesus being wholly involved in one moment not only helped him in the next, but helped that boy in the next. And Peter's lack of involvement in a moment and worry for the next moment actually cost him and made him lose both moments. Notice the disciples' reaction. "Why could we not cast it out?" Now, obviously, they're disappointed, and they want to get to the bottom of this, and they want to know how they got it wrong. And so listen to Jesus' response. He says, "This can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Now, I think it's important for us to understand what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that if you don't pray and fast, demons are not going to get cast out. Jesus is not giving them some religious formula and making it like a spiritual Coke machine that if you put in the quarter of prayer and the quarter of fasting and push the button, you're going to get what you want. What he is addressing in this moment is he's speaking in the context not of what happened, but he's addressing their unbelief. Unbelief, a lack of trust, cannot be rooted out of your life except by prayer and fasting. Because what happens when you pray and when you fast, you find yourself in closer communion with God. You find yourself engaging in the moment that you have in God's presence. We find ourselves canceling other things out of our lives by prayer and fasting in order to make space for a deeper moment with God. And as we spend time with Him and we begin to get to know Him, and the more we get to know Him, the more we trust Him, and the more we trust Him and believe in Him, then the less and less our lives are clouded with doubt and unbelief. And in this time where doubt seems to reign supreme, let us not miss the moment to see who's the one who really reigns supreme. In this time where we find ourselves seemingly in the dark about what the future holds, let us not miss the opportunity to experience every good and perfect thing coming down from the Father of lights, who James says, "In Him there is no variableness or variation or no shadow of turning. He does not change." And so I want us to know that even if we have felt this sense of restlessness, that there's no condemnation in that. We're not bad people because we've experienced this. Everybody has been thrown for a loop by what's going on. But I want us to recognize that that restlessness is a signal. It's a signal that there's something that's stirring against what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us by giving us rest. Isaiah 26:3 says that he who keeps his mind stayed on the Lord will remain in perfect peace. Why? Because he trusts Him. Let this restlessness that we experience, the stir-crazy feelings, be the signal that we need to be more steadfast about keeping our minds stayed on the Lord. If you are just right where you are, just bow your heads with me, and let's take a moment to just quiet ourselves right where we are. Have your kids or have your family, if they're on the couch with you watching this, have them just be seated for a moment and just in this moment, calm yourself, still yourself, and just get into this moment with God. Don't worry about what's for dinner. Don't worry about what you're going to do when this is done. Just be present to this moment. And in this time where our bodies may be at risk from COVID-19, let us rest in this moment knowing that our spirits are safe within God's presence. In this moment where we're not able to be with the community of believers and we have to be separated, let us rest in this moment that we are still a part of the community that is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So right where you are, just lift your hands to God as a sign of surrender to Him, letting go of the illusion of control that we have over what happens tomorrow. Let's do like Jesus said and let tomorrow's problems be tomorrow's problems. And let's not waste this moment where we can slow down and draw closer to the Holy Spirit. Let's be present in the moment with Jesus here and today, becoming grounded in the here and now, in the truth of God's love for today. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning and that He is faithful, as in the Lord's Prayer, to give us daily bread. Let's be present with God and not miss our moment in the here and now because we feel restless and stir crazy. Father, I thank You for Your goodness today. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for being with us, even in this online atmosphere, God, that You're not restricted by it. You're not held down by it. God, You're ministering on this side and the other side of the screen. And Father, we just choose today to find rest and hope in You. God, help us to shut down the things that make us anxious. Help us to shut down the things that are causing fear to stir up in us and redirect our focus on what's true and what's more real than COVID-19 could ever be. Let us today let anxiety fall off of us. God, I just call anxiety off of people's lives in the name of Jesus. And I call rest. I speak rest over those who are watching this video today. I speak rest over those who are in need of You. I speak rest over those who are worried about everything that's going on. And I thank You, God, that You're giving rest. You're giving peace. You're showing people that You are their source. And You, God, are not depleted. You're not hurting. Your reserves are not running dry. We do as the psalmist today says, when I am afraid, I trust in You. And while the fear that is going around is very real, our trust in You and Your goodness is even more real. And we just center in on that goodness tonight, God. I pray, God, that You would touch our minds and help us to focus on whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there's any virtue, help us, God, and things that are praiseworthy, focus on those. And not only in doing that do we find rest, but God, we find power to speak to this disease and call it, God, where it is unable to go forth any further. We call and we speak that COVID-19 will become powerless. We speak healing over this nation and we speak healing over these people. And God, I'm thankful today that You are faithful to be present with us. Help us in turn to not miss this moment with You. We thank You, God, for Your mercy and Your goodness, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much again for joining us. I pray that God is ministering to you right where you are, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.